Tonight we're going to talk about faith on fire. There are a few defining characteristics of fire. I'm only going to talk about two. The first one is this: fire is hungry, like most of you. If you want to keep a fire burning, you have to feed it. Right? So if you've ever barbecued or burned wood or had a wood-burning fireplace or a wood-burning stove, you know this, that if you want to keep a fire in it, you got to constantly give it something. You got to constantly put more wood. You got to constantly put more charcoal. Whatever it is you're doing, in order to keep a fire burning, you've got to feed it. Characteristic number two that I want to talk about is this: fire causes permanent chemical change. Fire causes permanent chemical change. Once something has been set on fire, it is impossible for it to ever return to its former physical state and chemical state. It becomes a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are being made new. So when people talk about being on fire for God, you need to expect, if you've ever said that you were on fire for God or that you were experiencing the fire of God, whatever it is that you did with the fire of God, you need to expect those two characteristics to be active in your life. Number one is that you are hungry. You want more. You want to keep burning. And number two is that you are permanently changed. You will never, ever be yourself the way it was again. There is no such thing as going back. There's no such thing as backsliding. There's no such thing as relapse. There's no such thing as repeat. There's nothing that can get you back to your physical state. You can try to act like you used to be, but you are not the way you used to be. Fire causes permanent change. You say, well, Pastor John, I prayed for healing and I'm not healed yet. Yes, you are. The fire of God has inhabited your space. You've come in contact with his glory, and that glory has changed you. And maybe you have the symptoms of what used to be, but you are not what used to be. So it's not a matter of whether or not the now reflects the then. It's a matter of whether or not the now has a revelation that it can't be then. Faith has a few defining characteristics, but there's only two that I want to talk about. The first one is this: faith is hungry. Faith is hungry. When you release your faith, it is constantly waiting to be re-released. When you release your faith, it is constantly waiting to be re-released. Faith does not expect you to get what it is you prayed for and then stop. Faith expects you to get what it is you prayed for, keep it, and get more and more and more. That's why the Bible says from glory to glory to glory, we're moving from faith to faith. We're moving from strength to strength. Faith is hungry, and you have to feed it. Characteristic number two: faith can cause permanent change. Faith can cause permanent change. Faith can, once the word is released in faith, it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish, and it will prosper in the thing for which it was sent to prosper, according to Isaiah 55:11. I want to give you an example of the permanent change of faith. Come here. You, come here, come here. Just real quick. I'm not going to ask you to say something. Just come here. Be a tree. Be a tree right here. You a tree? Are you a tree?
Sure.
You're good. All right, you're a tree. Jesus in Mark 11, Jesus is with his disciples and they're traveling and they're walking and Jesus was hungry. And so he, from afar off, he sees a tree and it's a fig tree. And so he walks over to this tree and the tree has leaves. The tree is alive. The tree is beautiful, beautiful tree, and he starts looking for figs and can't find any. And he looks at the tree and he says, "No one will eat from you ever again," and walks off. Now, his disciples who were rolling with him looked around at each other and said, I told you he was crazy. He's talking to trees. You see that? Do you see that? He's talking to trees. All right. He a little loopy. They go off. Jesus goes into the temple, gets mad at some people, whips some folks, turns over some tables, kicks them out, says, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. The next day, they're walking back. And as they're walking back, Peter looks at the tree and goes, ah! Jesus! Exactly what you say when you see something that's incredible. Jesus! But he was really talking to the real Jesus. The tree you cursed has been dried up from its root. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you see that? I'm a bad man. Hold on a second. Tree dried up from the root. Tree dried up from the root. Dry up from the root. There you go. That's better. Much better. Much better. Jesus didn't say, I'm a bad man. You can go back to your seat now. Give a hand to the tree. Jesus didn't say, yeah, I'm a bad man. Did you see how that happened? Jesus said this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. If you tell a mountain to move and be cast in the sea, it's going to move. Whatever you ask for, you get. If you believe that you get it. Faith causes permanent change. And it's hungry. Whatever you ask for, whatever you ask for, whatever you ask, not if you ask for one thing, whatever you ask for. So here's the deal. How do you keep your faith, which is just like fire, on fire? There's been such a measure of faith poured into the atmosphere of 1440 that many of you are burning with faith. How do you stay burning with faith? Because staying burning with faith is something that you have to do on purpose. God is faithful. And if you ask him to set you ablaze, he will set you ablaze. The question is whether or not you can stay in a place of blaze. How do you stay on fire? I got three things. I only got time to preach one. I'm going to have to get another way for you to catch the other two. But I'll give you the points. Point number one is this. You stay out of the cycle. This cycle of I need prayer, I'm having issues, okay, I believe God, hallelujah, I get healed, and I live a positive life for 5 days, and then I come back next week and I need prayer again for the same thing. You stay out of that cycle. Thing number two is this. I'll have to give you scripture and all that kind of stuff later. You can come holler at me. All you nerds, just come let me know, and I got you. All right, thing number two, you get aggressive in your connection to the body of Christ. You stay aggressively connected to like-minded believers. Have you ever heard your grandmama say something like this? Birds of a feather flock together. Well, if you want to change your feathers, you need to be flocking with a different flock. Hallelujah. I got scripture for that one too. Nerds, holler at me. Hallelujah. Thing number three. And here's what I'm going to talk about. You need blacksmiths in your life. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. You need blacksmiths in your life. A blacksmith is a person who works in a hot, dirty, sweaty, sometimes dark and dangerous place. They maintain the heat in the place by feeding a fire with coal so that raw material can be placed into the fire, all the impurities can be removed, and the raw material can be forever changed into a weapon that can be used in battle. Someone who is committed and skilled at creating an atmosphere where the conditions are right for fire. You need blacksmiths in your life. Amen. You'll hear me preach this again. Close to the end of the year, we're going to talk about the anointing and the Holy Spirit. You'll hear me preach this again. But the reason I want to preach it now is because there's been such a fire of faith that it's important that you steward the fire right. We are going to steward the fire right. We are not going to be the generation of teenagers that gets on fire and then 5 years from now, they come and look at you and they go, what happened? And you go, I used to be. No, you're going to stay on fire. You're going to burn. You're going to burn, and you're going to burn everything in your vicinity. Everything that gets close to you, you're going to burn. Everything that comes upon you, you're going to burn. And if it can't stand the heat, it's going to die.
Yes, that's right.
In order for us to maintain this environment, we need blacksmiths. You didn't get here by yourself. You got here because someone was willing to set an atmosphere for you to burn. What happens when you don't have blacksmiths? 1 Samuel chapter 13 says this, and there's so much in this that I really want to preach, but good grief, they showed me 8 minutes on the thing. Listen. Now there are no blacksmiths found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears for themselves. Drop down to verse 22. So it came about on the day of battle that there were neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. Get this. The Philistines were the enemy of the people of God. And the enemy, your enemy is not stupid. Your enemy is not dumb. He knows how to get you in a vulnerable position. And so the enemy in this story did this. They stopped the children of Israel from having blacksmiths. Doesn't seem like a big deal in the onset. They would just require that the people with things that needed to be sharpened or metal that needed to be worked go to the Philistines and get it done. There were no blacksmiths amongst Israel. Since there were no blacksmiths amongst Israel, there were no weapons amongst Israel. Because if there's no blacksmith, there's no one creating an environment for raw material to be formed into a weapon. Let me tell you something. You, young person, are raw material. You are raw material. You have the word inside of you. You have the spirit of God inside of you. But you yourself are raw material. And it is important that somebody create an atmosphere where you can burn so that you can be formed into a weapon that is useful in the hand of God. There were no blacksmiths, so there were no weapons. So on the day of battle, they could not defend themselves, nor could they be offensive. Hello, put on the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, an atmosphere where the word of God becomes a weapon. It's not just a book. It's a weapon. He does what this says. Your faith goes and gets what's in this book. It's a weapon. But if there's no blacksmith, if there are no people willing to forge this thing, we're going to be calling all of you. You can decide whether or not the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it on a fast over the next 3 days. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. You can fast whatever you'd like to fast. Food, electronics, something you love, whatever. For direction for this youth group. I see 1,200 students. I see 1,200 souls. I see 1,200 baptisms in the Holy Spirit. I see 1,200 baptisms in water. I see it. But we need you need direction for your youth group.
Amen. Yes.
We need blacksmiths for this generation. What happens when you do have blacksmiths? Isaiah 54, starting at verse 13 says, "And your children shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children." That's you. "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." Al-Qaeda can do what it wants to. It ain't touching you.
That's right.
Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Now, this next scripture is the preamble for a scripture that we love. Listen to this. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire. Hello, I'm close enough to get burned, but I will not move because there needs to be a fire. There's got to be a burning place where people can come, where teenagers can go and burn for their God. They can learn how to use these weapons. There's got to be a place, and I am willing to risk my life so that the place can be established. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. Here's the next scripture. You know this one by heart. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You don't get to no weapon formed against you shall prosper unless you go through the blacksmith.
Yeah, that's good.
Come get this. Somebody, anybody. We have blacksmiths. We have blacksmiths. If you're an adult volunteer and you're here tonight, I need all of you. Move quick. I need all of you. Adults in, you too, come on. All that whole section, come on. If you volunteer for 1440, come on. Even if you ain't through the process yet, come on. We got a long process. Come on up. Miss Marnie, where's the girl Marnie? Where you at? Where's the girl Marnie? No girl Marnie? Huh? No, I'm losing my head. Come here. I want you to go back there and I want you to watch that TV. Let me know when Gloria is done talking. These are your blacksmiths. These are your blacksmiths. You want to know how you stay on fire? You need them. They're willing to create a burning atmosphere for you to be transformed. So you want to know how you stay on fire? You want to know how you burn and you continue to burn? You support them. You go to war on their behalf. You enforce the word of God on their behalf. You get aggressively connected to them. You fall underneath their leadership. You fall underneath their direction. You fall underneath their understanding of the word for you. You pray for revelation. You pray for sustenance. You pray for provision on their behalf. You pray that when they come here on Wednesday night, that there is nothing going on in their personal life that would distract them from being able to hear the clear, present word of God for your life. You want to stay on fire? Do you want to see the glory of God?
Yeah.
Then you pray for them aggressively. And so tonight, the altar call is not for you. It's for your fire. Tonight, the altar call is not about you. It's about you being able to burn. Stand on your feet. I'm going to do this just like I heard it. And you may think this is weird. Kelsey, hang on. Where's David? Come here, David. as a representative of 1440. This young man's a senior. He'll be leaving. David is going to come and he's going to lay his hands on you. And he's going to pray for you. And we're not going to pray for you in a kid playful kind of way. We're going to pray that every chain on your life is broken. We're going to pray for revelation for this youth group. We're going to pray for strength in your interpersonal relationships and your personal life, that secret place that nobody knows about. Your bank account, your health report, every part of you is going to be whole. Come here, Kelsey. As a representative of our staff at EMIC, Kelsey's job is to watch over our volunteers. Her job is to supervise our volunteers, and she's going to pray for you. I want you to know that your leadership is praying for you. You are covered at the highest level of this ministry. You are covered. We have your back. We believe in you. We believe that God is putting revelation inside of you. God is speaking to you concerning this generation. God is giving you new ideas, fresh creativity. If we're going to be a ministry of 1,200 students, we need you. So tonight, this youth group says, we need you. We believe in you, we love you, and we need you. And we're going to do this exactly how I saw it. Every young person in here, every young person in here, I want you on your knees praying for these people. You got young knees, you can do it. Don't worry, it ain't gonna kill you to bow your knee. If Paul can write, "For this reason, I bow my knee," you can bow your knee. And I want you right now to begin to cry out to the Lord for these volunteers. Begin to cry out for your blacksmiths. This is not time to play. This is not time to play. This is about creating an atmosphere where glory can fall, where chains can fall off of young people when they come in, because the right people are in the right places and they're serving this youth group and they're creating an atmosphere for you to burn. Told to use it all of it. And you ain't got to touch their clothes. We don't want to dry cleaning bills. Just saying. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to give you bad dry cleaning bills. Every person, hold your hand out. Just touch their hand. Come on, 1440, pray. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You can do better than that. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on. Lift up a standard. Lift up a standard. They serve you, you serve them. They serve you, you serve them. Father, I love you. And I lift up our 1440 volunteers to you now. Thank you so much for their love and passion for our students. They are precious to us. God, I believe that you have sent them to us for such a time as this, that you have given them grace to minister to your people. God, I believe that you have specifically anointed them and gifted them to perform that which you have called them to. Today, God, I call them blessed. And I ask that you stir up the calling and anointing and the gifts that are inside of them. Father, I pray that you would raise up a new level of operation in those gifts and anointings. Father, I ask that you would let them see themselves the way that you see them, and that every holy dream and ambition would be emboldened, and that every holy passion and desire would burn hotter than ever before, specifically Specifically, Father, I pray for the following areas of their lives. For their personal life, God, I pray that you would bless them in the undisclosed places of their personal lives. I call every family blessed. Every marriage is solid and unshakable. Children are obedient to their parents and are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God, I speak blessing and prosperity over their homes. Every bill is paid and every obligation is met. Debt is responding to their faith and dissolving right now in the name of Jesus. According to 2 Corinthians 9, 16, 6 through 15, there is an abundance that flows throughout every area of their life. Grace abounds among them. Multiplication, God. According to Malachi 3:11, I declare that the devourer is rebuked concerning them and that their harvest is not destroyed or withheld. Everything and everyone in their household is protected and working at 100% capacity. I speak health and healing to their physical bodies. Today they are healed, whole, and ready to roll. They walk in a perpetual state of healing and deliverance. According to Isaiah 53:5, they are already healed by the stripes of Jesus. They have the authority over every sickness and they take possession of their healing today. God, specifically over their calling, I pray right now that you would increase and expand and promote them in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that you are taking them to a higher level in you. I pray that you would tune their ear to the supernatural. Just as you spoke in Revelations, then the revelation that you gave John, God, give them an ear to hear. I declare creativity and ingenuity in Jesus' name. According to 2 Corinthians 3:18, I say that they are being transformed now from glory to glory into your image. They are growing in wisdom and understanding. They have a keen ability to comprehend the word of God and to use it with authority. I say concerning them that they are operating in all areas of their life with the power of God. They are calling things that are not as though they are by faith. According to Romans 4:17, they are laying hands on the sick and praying the prayer of faith and watching them recover. Their faith is in a place of rapid growth and development. They are walking worthy of the calling that you have placed upon them. God, lastly, I pray over their service to 1440. You have positioned them into a place of service and molding of the greatest generation that the earth has ever seen. God, I pray that they would be much more than mere volunteers. I declare that they would have wisdom for the future of 1440. I declare, according to Joel 2, 28 through 29, that they are dreamers and visionaries. God, I declare that they see what is to come and that they are not bound by the current things. Those who will take the responsibility to mold and raise and pour into the next generation, that you are equipping this group with revelation and words of wisdom and understanding, God, that they may operate at a higher level of discernment. I believe that they receive it in the name of Jesus now. Say this with me. Say, we declare that you operate in a position of a blacksmith. Form me. Mold me. Shape me. Create an environment where I can grow. Where I can develop. Where I begin to take on the image of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to give them the loudest applause that you've ever given them in their whole life. Come on. You are blessed. You are prosperous. You are healed. You are delivered. You are set free. You bear the image of God. At your fingertips is the power of heaven. The kingdom of God is imposed by you everywhere that you go. You step your foot there and you take ground. You allow us to expand. You allow us to grow. You give us permission to grow into what we are going to be. You are powerful. You walk in anointing. You walk in anointing. You walk in glory. You walk in glory. People around you are going to start to change because of the glory that is on you. They cannot stand, nor can demons stand in your presence. You cast them out with the name of Jesus. You wield the sword of the Spirit. You are our front line. You are responsible for creating an environment where a generation will rise up and usher in Jesus Christ. We love you.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we seal it with the most high name of Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
He said it's not just these youth are praying for you. There are youth in Canada. There are youth in China. There are youth in South America that are your raw material.
Hallelujah.
And molded by what you do.
Yes.
Even though they hear nothing on the microphone.
Yeah. 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 Some of you are going to begin to get a revelation of being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. God's going to begin to put some people on your heart that you need to come alongside, take special care. You're going to begin to operate at another level. I don't care what the past has been. We are going to a new level. We are already at a new level, and we're going higher and higher. It's getting better every single day. We call you blessed. Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Y'all come up here and hug on these folks. Shake their hand.